All right, cell phone call is coming up momentarily. Once again, that number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for The Athletic. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is a board member of the Pro Football Writers of America. He is host of the Football GM podcast. He is Mike Sando. Mike, it is great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Mike. Thanks so much. Why don't we start with the NFC Championship game? Let me ask you, after sacking Daniel Jones five times, Philadelphia, Mike, now has 75 for the year. Only the 84 and 85 Bears have posted a higher total in a season. Question then is, will that Philly front seven finally be the group that makes Brock Purdy look and play like a rookie selected last in the draft?
I don't know that they're going to make him look that bad because of the talent around him, but I do think they'll get to him a little bit more. I do think the Eagles are probably a little bit better up front, maybe on both sides of the ball. And so, you know, the easy part for Purdy so far is their team's been so good, and he's played well, but he really hasn't been in those situations behind the eight ball where it's a drop-back pass game. And really, I mean, Jalen Hurts hasn't been in that situation a lot either. So I think whatever team can do that, these quarterbacks may not be as comfortable, and especially Purdy, as some of the more experienced guys, obviously like the Burrows and Mahomes, who, you know, almost thrive in those situations. So I think that day's coming, and it won't look as good, and Philly probably has a better chance than anyone the 49ers have played recently to do that.
I agree. Mike Sando joining us. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. He played at an MVP level before he went down. With that shoulder injury, his head coach, Nick Sirianni, didn't really do him any favors by comparing him to Michael Jordan. But since he did, how much is at stake for Hurts individually come Sunday?
It was better than Jim Irsay comparing his GM to Michael Jordan. But, I think that, you know, the concern for me in the game from a Jalen Hurts standpoint is that the 49ers linebackers hit. The 49ers hit more than other teams hit in the current modern game, right, where hitting is not. I mean, you go back and look at the play of George Kittle over the middle bobbling the ball. The Dallas defensive back almost kind of ducks under him and doesn't smash him, right? Remember, that used to be the hospital ball in the NFL, right? The 49ers linebackers play a little bit more like the game used to be played. They hit people. So I know Hurts is back from the shoulder injury and all of that, but, you know, the design run is going to be part of this for him. And Fred Warner and those guys bring it. And so I think that's a really interesting and possibly not concerning, but, you know, just an X factor part of this matchup that's different for Jalen Hurts. And you think of him, you know, he's going to take shots. You have to lay it on the line in these playoff games. You're not stepping out of bounds. You're not sliding always. You're going for that extra yard, and you may pay for it a little bit.
I think you make a great point. I love that matchup. I think the matchup between the 49ers linebackers and Jalen Hurts and the RPO, I think it's really intriguing, and I think you're right. Their linebackers, even though the game has changed and the rules have changed, I agree with you. They still play hospital ball. Those guys fly around and they lay the lumber. Let me ask you about the AFC. Mike Sando, my guest. The Bengals and Chiefs are going to run it back in the AFC Championship game. We know Patrick Mahomes is going to give it a go with that high ankle sprain. I know we all have a tremendous threshold, Mike, for his pain. But given how well the Bengals are playing, if Mahomes is limited in what he can do and it does impact what their offense does, what kind of a chance do you give them against Cincinnati? How do you see this game going?
Yeah, so I've been on Cincinnati a little bit, maybe the last 6 weeks or so, as kind of a team that I thought might do it. Just having the elite quarterback, the elite receiver, I think they have enough pass rush, right? Those are kind of the components that I look at. And yet, 2 weeks ago, I was like, can they go through both Buffalo and Kansas City? Well, now that they're through Buffalo, I do like their chances. They've obviously won close games before. My only fear is Mahomes is setting us up, because Mahomes is so special. And I do think if he's limited over the course of the game that Cincinnati should win the game. But he's also like that guy who might just be standing there after the game on the field talking to the sideline reporter, like with the big smile, right? Like he just set us up. So he made some amazing plays on one leg, was hopping around. I think if he's got to do that the whole game, it catches up to him. But I just have this feeling of, like, just be careful just be careful writing off Mahomes and Kansas City at home.
I agree. This is why I'm having so much trouble with that game and have the entire week.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about Joe Burrow. Every year you release a list of quarterback tiers based on feedback you get from NFL coaches and executives. Since you already had Burrow as a tier one QB heading into the season, has he moved up to the equivalent of the top 1% of quarterbacks this year?
Yeah. I think so. You know, I think he will. So in the past, you know, when I talked to the 50 people in the league, like, you know, a Mahomes or Rodgers would be unanimous. All 50 put him in tier one. And I think it was trending that way. You know, there was certainly a, you know, a solid minority that left Burrow in tier two. I think that probably goes just about all the way to all of them being in tier one now. You know, I think it was just a matter of time on task, right? He'd really only played the one full season. And everybody loved it, but you kind of want to see it again. And I think now this is seeing it again. And certainly if they, you know, win this game, I don't know how anyone's going to keep them out of there.
Mike Sando joining us. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, so let me ask you about that. We're going to head into another offseason of mysteries surrounding Aaron. Do you think he's going to stay in Green Bay, or can you see him accepting a trade?
I think I could see him accepting a trade. You know, I thought it was, you know, the on-field results weren't so good this last season, obviously the opposite of that, to where you just sort of had to keep it going. And I felt like when they were 13-3, 13-4, he's the MVP, you just sort of don't break that up. I think there's a jumping-off point now with him saying, hey, I hope they re-sign these six guys or whatever, and it's Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb, guys that ideally as an organization – you're moving on from at this stage. You're building your team. And so I do feel like it's reached a point where now, like, I'm not surprised at all if they move on. And you know, they did that at the end with Brett Favre. They haven't been an overly active team in, like, the free agency market, but they've traded Devontae, right? They've been able to trade away players. Maybe they have sort of the license and the cover to do it this year. When you sort of felt like they were leaning that way anyway when they drafted Jordan Love, and they couldn't bring themselves to do it because Rodgers played so well.
Mike Sando's joining us. You mentioned Brett Favre. So could you see if, in fact, Aaron were to accept a trade and still wants to play, like Favre, could you see him going to the Jets? Does that make sense to you?
I could. Yeah, I could. And, you know, Nathaniel Hackett's there, who he knows. I think he would want to see them obviously make some moves to make his life easier. But I could see that. You know, I don't see like with Tom Brady, it's logical that you could make the case for the Raiders, that there's just too many things that line up. I don't necessarily think that Hackett makes that, you know, the same amount of lining up. But that just seems like a team that's really has the good defense that he hasn't always had in Green Bay. And, you know, maybe you could get over the top there. Certainly you'd be better.
You know, Mike, it seems almost like a given. You mentioned Brady. Almost like a given that he would end up with Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. Do you think Brady wants that? And do you think that Mark Davis wants Brady?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's been hard to figure out exactly what Brady wants. I do think he's going to play. I do think he's going to want to have weaponry, and they've got that. And then Mark Davis, I know he was tired of Derek Carr and they got rid of him, but to unload a quarterback who isn't great but prevents you from having a low floor, like, to me, you don't do that unless you have a broader plan to get somebody good or get somebody who's going to help your program, right? They're trying to establish a program that's hard to establish places. It's hard to tell people that we need to run laps in practice when we mess up. It's just hard. But it's a lot easier if Tom Brady is there and he's the first one running around the laps, right? I think that's what they need. So if Mark Davis wants to succeed with Josh McDaniels, this is how you would do it. Otherwise, I think you're a little bit of uphill battle with players that maybe don't have to or want to go that route to the same degree that McDaniels probably wants to.
It's going to be an amazing championship weekend and a great offseason as well. He is a senior NFL writer for The Athletic. He is a Hall of Fame voter, also the host of the Football GM podcast. Mike, I've been wanting to talk to you. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Mike Sando joining us. All right, some good information there.